This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Friday, we had golf weather. Today, we have hockey weather here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we do have hockey at Ritter Arena, NCAA tournament. Minnesota and Colgate underway. Gophers trying to get to the Frozen Four at Ritter Arena. Gopher men, they're just kind of waiting. They're out of the Big Ten tournament. And, oh, by the way, we have the Wild and the Blues tonight in St. Paul, and Jess Myers joins us from the Pioneer Press, and he covers the club. Yeah, I mean, we could have easily played 18 on Friday, and now today I don't think I'd be out there, Jess.
You know, that's one thing that that John Hines has said, the Wild head coach, about this stretch of games they've got. You know, they're playing a game every other day for about the next 10 days or so, or this in this stretch, because the schedule is more compact this year because they took 2 weeks off for the Four Nations face-off. And it's a busy schedule. And what you're seeing a lot is the Wild are canceling their off-day practices now because, as John Hines said, it's not like we're installing new systems or doing new things at this point. The guys know the way we need to play. The guys know the drills, all of that. So he's giving more days off. And talking to the players, the fact that it's been an early spring really helps because the sun is shining. You can get out of the house. You can get away from the rink and really use rest as a weapon at this time of year when it seems like everybody's a little banged up. You know, everybody's, you're in the thick of the grind here. Everything's a little magnified as you get closer to the playoffs because every point is so important. So interesting stretch of the season for the Wild right now.
Yeah, and a lot of home cooking. And so far, it's been a roller coaster ride. Goals have been at a premium. This is a recording.
You know, what's fun about that is the Wild are playing such solid defense right now. I mean, just not leaky at all. They're getting good goaltending. So, yeah, they're scoring roughly one or two goals a game at most. And that's reflective, again, of, you know, we've talked about it all season, but the guys who are out of the lineup and make a difference. There's only so many chess pieces you can take off the table and still expect to do what you want to do. But the one guy I was thinking about today, and I talked to him after their morning skate, Freddie Gaudreau, quietly, 15 goals this year. You know, they keep talking about the next man up and we got to just fill the gaps and all that. And he's one guy who's truly doing that in a role that he's not used to. So stories like that are kind of fun when you get the step-up player.
All right, we've talked all season long, and we're grateful for your time as always, Jess. Injuries have been a reoccurring theme. Is anybody on the comeback trail? Can the Wild look for a jolt to the lineup?
Well, the good news is the last 3 days, Jonas Brodin, the defenseman who's been out for, you know, a couple stretches now, he's been skating. He skated in practice today. He wasn't a full participant, but he was out there. He was moving his legs. John Hines said, you know, good news. Now, he's not in the lineup tonight. He's probably not going to be in the lineup Monday, but he's on the road to recovery. He's taken that first step getting back with the team after skating on his own, and things are looking good on that front. The two question marks that everybody has, because we talk about goal scoring or lack thereof, Joel Eriksson-Ek and Kirill Kaprizov, no, still out of the lineup, and neither one of them as of today is skating yet. And, you know, Bill Guerin has insisted he expects both of them back and Brodin back before the end of the regular season. Well, we're down to what? I think like 16 games left now, so we're getting close to the end here. You know, granted, it would be fantastic to have them for the playoffs and for a potential playoff run, but you got to get there first. They're close to clinching, but having those guys back sooner rather than later would certainly be a big help for this team.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the standings, because it's one of those where it's turned into a nail biter. And once again, thanks to the injuries, the thing the Wild have been dealing with, and a lot of clubs deal with, frankly. But for the Wild, they're still within sight of the Colorado Avalanche in the division, 4 points back. But really, you're kind of looking at Calgary, the number two wild card at the moment, 8 points behind the Wild, game in hand. And then Vancouver, 8 points behind and a game in hand. The Blues, still alive, but at the moment, they have both played 66 games, and they're 10 points back, and that sets the stage for tonight. The Wild could make it very difficult for the Blues with a win in regulation tonight.
I'm not giving the pregame speech tonight to the team. I'm not trying to pump them up. But, you know, you think about what John Hines would say to these guys, and this is clearly one of those opportunities that you have tonight with St. Louis coming to town. You've beat them 3 times already this season, twice in their building, once in St. Paul. And you know where they are in the standings. This is a chance to put St. Louis in the rearview mirror permanently. You know, you get 2 points tonight, you keep them from getting a point, and St. Louis is not going to catch you. I think you can safely say that. And, you know, the Wild have played about 500 hockey recently, you know, maybe a little worse than that. But what they're playing on, Steve, is the fact that, you know, way back in October, November, early December, this team was something like 18-4-4. I mean, they just had a ridiculously good start before the injuries started to pile up. And the fact that they put all those points in the bank early on means that you're still in pretty good shape now, even though you've dealt with a lot of stuff and some of the scoring has dried up.
Yeah, and Jess, when you look at it, with 16 games to go, 66 games played and 79 points, you get to that 95-96 point mark, and generally that's been good over the years. I know it's moved a couple of points. You get into the mid-90s points-wise, you're probably going to be in the postseason. And what that means, average about a point a game in the Wild get there.
Yep, and you know, you saw that in the last game against the Rangers. Granted, they lose it in overtime, but they get a point, which is very important. And they said they kind of played a taste of the kind of hockey you're going to have to play in the playoffs. It's low scoring. It's tight checking. Every little mistake is magnified. Every little play you make, there seems to be more riding on it. You know, you're not going to see the Rangers again in this building. You're going to go out and play the Rangers a couple weeks from now in New York. You know, you wouldn't see them again until the Stanley Cup final. But for whatever reason, this turned out to be a great kind of litmus test for, again, that taste of playoff hockey that some of these guys are going to have to get used to again.
Goaltending, let's get an update on that. And over the course of an 82-game season, there will be ups and downs. It's been a strength of this team. How would you assess the goaltending at this point in time?
It's been fantastic lately. And Philip Gustafson noted a week and a half ago or so against Detroit at home, he let in a goal that you can't let in. It was a long shot. He had a clear view of it, and he just missed it. And there's just no margin for error. And he's his biggest critic. He was hard on himself after that one. Since then, he's bounced back. He's going to be the every-night goalie. I mean, I think we all know that, as well as Marc-Andre Fleury has played in what turns out to be his farewell tour. Filip Gustavsson is going to be your every night guy if this team gets into the playoffs. And right now he's playing fantastic. And that's good to see, because there was a stretch there in January and February where he had a few off nights, and you just can't afford those.
All right, Jess, a couple of thoughts. Golden Gopher men, they get bounced from the Big Ten tournament by Notre Dame. They await, ultimately, the NCAA tournament pairings. They are safely in.
Yeah, they're safely in. I think there's still a good shot they get the number one seed and go to Fargo, which will be, you know, a relatively close by spot. They were in Fargo for the regional 2 years ago, and Gopher fans showed up by the ton, and that was a really good atmosphere for them. So I think they're still playing on that. Obviously not an ideal situation, not only that you lose 2 out of 3 to Notre Dame last weekend, but now that you have to sit and wait. But one thing I like that Bob Motzko does with this team is when they have bye weeks at this time of year, he gets them out of the dorms, he gets them off campus. They're down in Rochester this weekend. They're practicing there. They're going to visit schools. They're doing scrimmages that are open to the public. They're signing autographs. They're making it feel as much as they can like a game situation this weekend to kind of get them, break up the monotony of being on campus. And I think that's going to be good for this team. And plus, it's a really cool treat for the fans down in southern Minnesota to get out and see the Gophers.
And the Golden Gopher women, Colgate today at Ritter, trying to get to the Frozen Four at Ritter Arena.
Congratulations to Brad Frost. They get a return trip to the Frozen Four. They win 3-2 today. Sorry to spoil that if anybody was had it on tape delay or anything, but they beat Colgate 3-2. And by the way, here's your prize for beating Colgate and getting to the Frozen Four in your own building. You get to play Wisconsin for the 6th time this season, and the Gophers are 0-5 versus the Badgers this year. Wisconsin, number one ranked team in the country. So we have to imagine, right, Steve, that the 6th time is a charm? Isn't that the way it goes?
I believe so. 6th time is the charm. they played a great game against the Badgers up at Amsoil in Duluth in the final face-off. But Lindsay and I had talked about it. The Badgers have lost one game all year.
They're a bit of a wagon. That's for sure. They'll be the odds-on favorite when they get here to Minneapolis for the Frozen Four.
Yeah, and a great venue once again. Gophers win, beat Colgate today.
Steve, yeah. If I can, just one quick note. I just came from a memorial service, which is always tough. My friend Mike Kennedy, who's from Faribault, he's a Mankato State guy, diehard hockey fan, a good DFL operative for years. I worked with him in the political world. He passed away last month. He was 57 years old, which is way too young. But and you know, a terrible story, but he played hockey with a bunch of friends in St. Paul. He had a heart attack in the parking lot after playing hockey, but he truly died doing what he loved, playing hockey with his friends. So I want to give a big stick salute to my friend Kenner, Mike Kennedy, and we all miss him.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Jess. Always good to visit with you.
All right. Always good to talk hockey, Steve.
All right. There he is, Jess Myers from the Pioneer Press. He'll have coverage of the Wild and the Blues from St. Paul tonight. You can follow Jess on social media. And then, of course, read the story online at TwinCities.com and read his work in the Pioneer Press. 4:32, we'll have an update on the weather. Championship Saturday, girls' hoops today over at Williams Arena. 2 champions have been crowned. 2 more tonight on Channel 45. Our good friend Dave Lee with the call there, and all the good folks over at Channel 45 doing a great job. And then the boys tournament starts Tuesday at Target Center in Williams Arena. We'll have the pairings for you. And the rumors continue to circulate. Aaron Rodgers could be a Viking in 2025. And then, of course, the Twins and the Braves. We have a Grapefruit League game coming up straight up 5 o'clock here on the home of the Twins. News Talk, 830-WCCO.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.